Well, we're in the book of Isaiah once again. We started to look at some verses that are found in the chapter 60. So turn to the chapter 60. Let me just remind you what it is we're considering as we study these verses. We're considering, of course, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the many, many things that will happen as a result of him coming back. We cannot possibly comprehend all that the Lord has planned for this earth when he returns. There's a wee hymn that goes, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Well, that's the testimony of every Christian, and they can talk of the wonderful changes that came into their life as a result of salvation. Well, boys and girls, multiply that by millions and millions and millions of times. Multiply that change that comes to the sinner when Christ enters their life. And we will begin then to get some idea of the changes that will come into this world. It will mean changes for millions of people. It will mean changes for the nations of the earth. It will mean changes for the very creatures of the earth. We looked at that last time we were together. The lion and the bear and the calf. There's going to be so many changes. And God has set down in his word for us a list of some of the changes. Now we have been principally thinking of what changes there will come for the nation of Israel. We've been looking at the promises that God has recorded of those things that he's going to do for Israel. You could go to the Bible and look at a different topic. You could go to the Bible and you could consider what God has sent down there regarding what he is going to do for you. What he's going to do for you. What lies ahead for the Christian? What lies ahead for each one that's born again when Jesus comes again? That's a topic we could look at. But we're looking specifically at what the Lord is going to do for the Jewish people. The Jewish people. The nation of Israel. And when God makes promises, boys and girls, he keeps them. He keeps them. So what we read here, God saying, "I will do." He will do it. He will do it. And what he says concerning his plans for the Jewish people, then it will take place one day. Now the Jewish people today, as you know, have no time for the God of the Bible. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They utterly repudiate the Lord Jesus. But that doesn't change the fact that God has promised he is going to do certain things for the Jewish nation, and he will do it. He will do it. But of course, the very first thing he will do for them is that he will save them. He will save them. That's the first step in any of us experiencing the wonderful goodness and mercy of God. If you're not saved today, listen to me. If you are not saved today, you have not begun to enjoy the mercies of God in Christ, nor can you ever enjoy the mercies of God in Christ. While you remain unsaved, you must be saved in order to experience and enjoy all the great mercies of God's love to sinners. Are you saved today? Are you? Are you saved today? Oh, the promises in this book are not for you if you're not saved. But if you are saved, then all the things that God has promised to do for his people, Gentile and Jew, he's going to do. He's going to do. That we can depend upon. We're at Isaiah, the chapter 60. There's great portions of Isaiah in particular. You can find similar portions in Jeremiah and indeed all of the prophets. But particularly in Isaiah, there are great portions in which God says what it is he's going to do in the land of Israel when the Savior returns. If I might just remind you, we linked the last two verses of chapter 59 to what is then spoken of in chapter 60. And it is clear that those verses 20 and 21 of chapter 59 are talking about the coming again of Christ. And I said the evidence and proof of that is that Paul quotes these verses in Romans 11 when he is talking about the coming of Christ. We're talking here then in Isaiah, the end of 59 and the beginning of 60, about events that will happen when Jesus comes again. And of course he is speaking here specifically to the Jewish people. Let's read. We only really got into chapter 60. So let's read from verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Those are the terms we would employ about daybreak. If you were up early enough at dawn, you could go out and you could watch the sun rising, flooding the land with light. And that's the terminology that's employed here. The Lord is saying, your day, Israel, has come. When the Lord Jesus returns, it will be the day of light and blessing and joy and power. The dawn of a new and wonderful day for Israel. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. This is what makes it such a special day. It's a day when the glory of God is linked to the land and to the people of Israel. That was something, you know, that no other nation could claim. When the Lord Jesus took his people out of Egypt, he took them out, they were now a nation. Up until that time, they were more or less a large family, the sons of Jacob and their sons. But now, some 400 years have passed, and the family has become a nation. And God indicates to the whole world, this is my nation, my people, my special people, no one else like them and among all the nations of the earth. You remember how he led them out? He visibly manifested his glory so that the light of God's glory, what we call the Shekinah glory, that indescribable magnificence of God's wondrous glory, shone upon Israel, and they were led through the wilderness by this glorious light. And when the tabernacle was erected, above the tabernacle there was the glory of God. Of course, their sin forfeited that glory. There's no glory now upon Israel. God has departed from them, but he's going to come back. He's going to come back. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. That's the state of affairs in the world when the Lord Jesus comes again. And gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. When Christians speak of their faith in the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, they employ terms like, he will come visibly and gloriously and triumphantly to this world one day. And the whole world will see the glory of God when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We can't begin to imagine what it will be like looking up and the heavens opening and Christ appearing in his glory. And that glory, when he comes again, will in a very special way be centered upon the land of Israel. As it says in the verse 2 here of chapter 60 of Isaiah. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Israel's going to rise as a result of the blessing of the Lord. It's a bit like Lazarus coming out of the tomb at the call of Christ. There's life about him. Well, out of the tomb of darkness in which they have lain for centuries, the nation of Israel's going to come. And as a result of that, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Now here's one of the elements, one of the aspects of what will happen to Israel. When the Lord comes again, saves the people in Jerusalem, there will immediately begin a great gathering of all the Jews of all the world back to their promised land. That's what it says here. Look around you, verse 4. See, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. God doesn't forget the ladies. The Lord says he's going to bring the sons of Israel, and he's going to bring the daughters of Israel. They're equally important to him. Verse 5, then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces or the wealth and the greatness of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba, shall come to thee. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. All these terms indicate that there will flow to Israel the wealth of the Gentiles. The wealth of the Gentiles. The Jew has suffered at the hand of the Gentiles throughout the ages. They have been robbed many times, plundered. No better example of it, you know, than that which happened some 70 years ago under the regime of the German leader, Adolf Hitler. The Jewish people in Germany were plundered. Their wealth was taken away. We know that they were cast into prison camps, and they were done to death. 6 million of them. 6 million of them. That is four times the number of people that live in Northern Ireland were done to death. And even when they put them to death, they didn't stop plundering them. Every item of clothing, their very shoes, were taken and made use of. The gold that was in their teeth was pulled out. They plundered the Jew. It's great wickedness, and that just didn't happen 70 years ago. There are many, many, many occasions when it has happened throughout the ages since the Jew was scattered from Israel 2,000 years ago. Here, things are going to change, and the wealth of the Gentiles is going to come to the Jew. Verse 8, who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves to their windows? Do you know anything about the racing pigeon? It's quite a popular pastime for many people, raising pigeons. Then taking those little pigeons and putting them in like a hamper, a wickerwork basket, they could drive 100 miles, 200 miles. They might even put them on a ship and send them away 500 miles away. And friends of those who own the pigeon, who are part of the whole racing pigeon fraternity, will take care of those baskets, and then at a set time, they will release the pigeon. They may be releasing them in France, they may be releasing them in Germany. And the interesting thing is, you see, all these pigeons that are released, all of which have different homes, different lofts to which they belong, they're released far from home, and they'll fly up into the air as a cloud, and they'll circle round. I don't know how they do it, unless they have a wee sat-nav under their wing or something, but they'll circle round and round, and then off they go, in the direction of their home. Now, they haven't a clue, in the sense that they weren't able to watch the road they travelled on. They weren't able to do that. But somehow or other, God has built into those little creatures an instinct that will bring them home. And the whole point of the exercise is which of the pigeons are going to get home first. And they fly, and in their loft there's a little device that when they come to the little door of their pigeon loft, they have to pass through the door, and as they do so, they stand on this little device and it clocks the time. And whichever pigeon takes the shortest time to get home, well, that's the winner. But God here is using the instinct of the pigeon, the dove, to illustrate what's going to happen one day to the Jewish people. Look at what it says. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for thee, and the ships of Tarshish First, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord their God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favour have I had mercy on thee. Here we have the picture of the pigeon that had been taken away captive in a basket, along with other pigeons, into a foreign land. But now they're released, and that homing instinct takes over, and they fly home again. And that's what's happening here. God's speaking of a day when the scattered people of Israel will return to their homes, just like homing pigeons. They shall fly as doves to their windows. And God again states that they will come with riches. They will come with riches. They will not come as poor refugees, homeless and in great need. No, they're going to come with riches because the Gentiles, doubtless because they feel that they have been guilty and their forefathers have been guilty of sin against the Jews, they will desire to try and make up to the Jew the great wrongs that have been done against them in the past. But not only are the Jews returning, and they're going to be helped to return by the Gentile nations, but it says that the Gentile nations shall build up thy walls, verse 10, and their kings shall minister unto thee. So there's going to be a restoring, not only of the Jew to his land, but there's going to be a restoring of the land and the building of it up. And this is all part of God's favour to the Jews. You see, God says, in my wrath I smote thee. You see, when God judged the people of Israel, he turned the Gentiles against them. That's what God can do. God can raise up enemies for those who oppose him and rebel against him. He can raise up enemies against you. He had done that in the days of Jeremiah, when Israel had turned her back on God. What did God do? He raised up the Babylonians, and he brought them, and he made them, as it were, a stick in his hand to beat the rebellious Jewish nation. That's what God can do. Listen to me, boys and girls. It does not pay to defy God. He can turn everything against you. Oh, listen to me. Happy is the person who is walking with God and who has God as a friend and not as an enemy. God says, in my wrath and judgment I smote thee, but in my favour have I had mercy on thee. The nation of Israel, which today is out of favour with God, will one day be brought back into God's favour. And the evidence of it are these things that here we read about. I didn't get too far yet into Isaiah 60, but I hope we'll continue with it and see the accounts that God gives of what will happen when Jesus comes again and the nation of Israel is saved and restored. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, just bless your word to our heart, and I pray that the young hearts and minds gathered here under the sound of your word will take note of these things, will believe God, and will be watching for these things to happen. Bless each child here. And Lord, if there's any not saved, please, O God, please have mercy upon them and save them for Jesus' sake. Amen.